Best Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. Now here's your hosts, Robin Bailey and Al McDonald.
Well, it's Friday again, Al. Here we are back at it, recording another podcast. So I'm pretty excited about this one today. What about you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's timely with it being summer, and I'm sure that many people are involved in some summer outdoor projects. So our guest today, I think, is a perfect fit.
Well, we always hop on the pod a little bit early and have a chat with the guest just to get us rolling. And one of the things that he had asked me this morning about, you know, have you found the podcast? And one of the benefits that I didn't expect necessarily was meeting and building such an amazing community. And an example of that is podcast, I guess, a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, Jonathan Running is on the podcast, develop a great relationship. We're having coffee with him and they say, hey, who else do you know that would be great on the podcast? And he is raving about this person, especially a younger person being at this level of business already. And we knew we had to talk to him. So on the pod today is Charlie Kerrigan from BIL Landscaping. Charlie, thanks for joining us.
Awesome, guys. Listen, I look forward to our chat. I appreciate you having me on. It'll be a fun one.
Well, and a fellow podcaster as well. So this is kind of cool. And I'd love you to give people a shout out to your podcast at the end of this when we wrap up. But let's get started with the obvious. Can you tell us about your business and how did you get to the point where you are now, Charlie?
Yeah. So like any other kid, when I was 10, 12, 13, knocking on doors, cutting grass, and just slowly building, hiring the right people, skilled people, talking with mentors. And I just got really, not so much to the landscape stuff. I always loved being outdoors, but the game of business and growing, taking things to the next level. Throughout high school, it progressed. I got out of high school early and just kept pushing the envelope on the landscape, design, build, pools, patios side of things. To the point we're at now, we have a team of 30 guys, 5 full-time crews, and focusing on the GTA. And a lot of our clients bring us up to their cottages in Muskoka as well. So we spend some time up there and that's it.
That's tough. I feel for you having to, you know, go up with your clients up to the Muskokas.
I know.
Well, Charlie, I'm remembering back to growing up and like a lot of kids, my dad helped me make the flyers and I'd put out, hey, I'll cut your grass. And I remember going and doing that. But then it ends. And then I ended up working at McDonald's and what is today is Metro. For you, that was a different journey. So how does that happen that instead of just being one of many kids doing that, you actually turned this into a very successful business. So what's the difference there?
I guess the commitment. A lot of people get into it for the wrong reasons, I feel, and I'm guilty of it as well. I was chasing materialistic goals and objects, and whether it was a truck or a toy or whatever it was. But what happens when you get there? And that was, I guess, a hard lesson for me of falling into slumps and this and that. You achieve these amazing goals, which is great. But what happens after that? And once I was able to kind of figure that out, that there's something fully bigger, you know, be able to enjoy the journey and see the bigger picture. There's a bigger purpose to things. Once I was able to see that, I was like, okay, now we know what we're doing. We're not here to mess around anymore. Let's run everyone else over. And we started to get super serious, got out of high school quite early. And landscaping is just the vehicle to get me to these places. That's it. And enjoy it.
Charlie, can I ask you how old you were when you started this company?
I started knocking on doors when I was 12, when like officially, I don't know, 15.
Wow. Impressive. The reason I ask is that's pretty amazing because, and I'll talk about only myself here. I'm not talking about anybody else, but man, I was a stupid kid at 15 and I was probably a stupid kid right up until I started in the insurance industry at age 26. That is a big difference from someone who really got jazzed by the business. What was it at an early age that you loved about, you know, the potential for growing a business? Because honestly, most kids are not there at that age.
The constant learning, I feel, in business was the way it like threw you to the wolves. You fell on your face so many times. Like, no classroom or course can ever teach you that. And how fast it threw me, like, you have to learn. It's sink or swim. And the mistakes cost me, like, I was the stupid kid too. I'm the exact same boat as you there, Rob. But like, the mistakes cost you so much. It's like, okay, let's maybe not do this again. Let's try something different next time. And just the speed of progression that business forces you to do, I feel that's the best way to answer your question.
Charlie, talk about what motivates you. You already mentioned at the beginning, it was materialistic. You're after that truck or whatever the case may be. And then you outgrew it, quote unquote. I don't know if that's the right word, but it doesn't sound like that's the motivation anymore. So what drives you? What motivates you now?
A few key things. One is helping others. And I ate shit and it was tough at first, like all the lessons and being able to give others the lessons without the scar. So the podcast, that's the idea behind that. And just growing people and seeing everyone improve as a team. So like throughout our team culture, our guys were running 5 a.m. on Saturdays, like getting better or learning and lessons and like the education within our organization and seeing everyone. Like, I don't want my guys pushing lawnmowers and wheelbarrows the rest of their life. Like, I want people growing. And that's really what drives me. And the third thing is really pushing the envelope of the product that we can produce. And as a contractor, there's a bad rap around us of contractors, they're greasy, they're not professional, they don't show up. So really changing that, I guess, is the third point.
You mentioned culture in there with your team. We've got a lot of other business owners and entrepreneurs listening to this. Talk about how it is that you build the culture within your company.
Team events is huge, and that's an obvious answer, but doing hard things with individuals is, I found, the best way to grow and connect and get together and relate. So doing hard things, it's hard work, it's labor. It's whether the team on Friday is moving brush piles around, cleaning up, like end early on Friday, come to the shop, we're going to do work together. That's amazing. Like running together as a team. And then we do like the standard golf events and barbecues, all that, but really making an effort for it and a non-negotiable. And we have no means have figured it out, but that's what we do now.
I love what you said, and I can resonate with the part where you said, you know, doing hard things together. And as I say this, what's sport, and I say that in quotes, that I was involved with, people are going to cringe as I say this. But when I was 43, I joined CrossFit. And one of the things that I don't do CrossFit anymore, and there's plenty that I don't like about CrossFit, but one of the things that they did very, very well was build community, exactly how you said, Charlie, by doing really hard things together. And I found that really bonded the people at the gym that I was at. So I can see that applying to your team as well, doing hard work. The other saying I'm going to go back to, and I might have to steal this, is, what did you say? Something, learning without the scars? What was the saying you said there?
A lesson without the scar.
Lesson without the scars. I like that. So as a leader, you're willing to get that scar, but hopefully by passing that on, you know, your team doesn't have to get that. That's very philosophical. I like that. So I'm going to steal that going forward.
Well, and you guys are doing the same thing with this podcast, right? Having all these amazing guests on, they're portraying lessons that the listeners, they get the lesson without the scar, right? So.
Well, I hope so, because Al and I certainly have been on these conversations, and we'll get off and Al and I always stay on the chat after, and we're like, wow, that was really good. That's something that we could use within our business. And hopefully that's what the listener is getting out to it. Because again, most of the people listening to this either are C-suite, they own a company, you know, they're entrepreneur, they're founders, that sort of thing. So hopefully, yes, you're right. They are getting some of that. If we've got other young aspiring leaders, maybe they're coming out of school, maybe they're working for another company right now and they want to get out and start a company of their own one day, what advice would you give to them?
I think whether it's starting a company one day or not, being super careful as a young person, man or woman, of the standards and people they surround themselves with can vary so much. And like, your normal is what you set it at. There is no normal. It's all up to you. And sitting on the couch and drinking every weekend can be a normal for many people. And there's also the other extreme of that, of, you know, working out and growing businesses and being very, very driven and focused and getting rid of the distractions. So deciding your normal, deciding who you're surrounded with and are able to learn from, whether it's business or not, I would leave them with that advice.
I think you said something really important there about deciding to. Recently, I had a chat with Al about something I wanted to change in my life. And I said, you know, it was very interesting that I get to decide to make that decision, right? And I think people don't see that all the time. Like, they think, oh, life is happening to me. And there are certain things, obviously, that we can't control. But there's a lot that we can, and we can decide this is how I'm going to interpret this situation, or I'm going to decide these are the actions that I'm going to take. So I think that's very solid advice. I want to know a little more about Charlie, though. What do you do outside of work?
Outside of work, yeah.
Wait, is there an outside of work?
Yeah, I don't know. The outside of work is very limited, definitely. The gym keeps me sane and keeps me going. That's one big thing. And then just learning, like whether it's reading books or retreats and like networking things, surrounding, again, going back to surrounding with people that want to learn from and want to pick things up from. Going back to what you just mentioned, I do want to add like the victim mentality of what you just described, and like
right.
being able to say no is so huge. And like, it took me so long to get it in. I've not mastered it at all, but that's been another huge, huge thing for us, just saying no.
Well, Al always says to me, if you're saying yes to something, you're saying no to something else, right? So yes, as a leader, you've got to be able to set up those times where you're going to say, no, I can't do it, right? So that's very important. You mentioned being able to hang around with good people and successful people. And it's one of the reasons we love the podcast, because we get to meet with so many great people. If you could pick anyone to hang out with, have a lunch with, aside from me and Al, of course, who would it be?
That's a hard one. You know, I think it'd be someone like Alex Hormozi is who it would be.
Okay, good call. Yeah.
I really like his perspective on things.
Yep.
And his knowledge, his books. I do look up to him for sure.
Have you seen his school platform?
I have, yes. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm impressed that you chose him. That's very cool.
Charlie, talk about what success means to you. Let's fast forward, I don't know, 20 years. You're looking back. What has to happen for you to say, yeah, you know what? I've been successful.
I think it's defined by the impact we have on others and good that we're able to do for others. Like me personally, use me as a vehicle to get people there and bring as many people as I can. So again, like with the podcast and with my team, the construction landscape business is like, those are my two focuses of just people growing and put myself last. So that'd be what success means.
We've had the pleasure, shout out to Corey Chadwick, of working with him and his mental gym. And that's one of the things we've been talking a lot about is our success formula and what it means to you. So yeah. And again, I go back to the fact that you talked about at the beginning, it was, you know, hey, working towards that truck or working towards something materialistic, and somewhere along the line, it has switched a little bit. So I think maybe that is a great segue into our final question. And I don't know if you've seen the question and want to answer it, but if you're up for it.
Al has a signature question, and I cannot recall from our phone call if I warned you up front, but why don't we throw it at Charlie? I have a feeling he has a good answer for it.
Yeah, I think so. So here it is. A society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. So can you talk about any of those proverbial trees that you're planting?
Yeah, that is a good question. Trees that we are planting. Wow. So like something we're leaving behind, basically, right? Like, I don't think much more than what we've touched on, like the podcast and leaving value out there for others. Like, that's really the idea behind that. And another thing, I guess, and what we did touch on is like the wraparound contractors and what they have. Like, that's another big focus of mine. It's like, I really don't like how it's portrayed right now. And it's like non-professional and greasy, and they're expected to show up late. And these are just minor examples, but I feel really bringing up professionalism, if you really want to be the best and have that standard raised, like the standard with everything now is set so, so low. And we see it with kids and people my age sitting on their ass all day. But with everything, like I think standards just need raised, and people say like, oh, what you're doing is decent and good. And I'm like, no, like it's just the standard.
Your standard's too low.
So those are a few comments I'd have, but that is a good question.
I'm reminded of a conversation we just had this week. We were talking to someone who had done some work with NASA. Obviously, they're at the other end of the scale. But the comment that she made was how much she was impacted by the fact that every single person was doing their job with a level of excellence. Like, it didn't matter who it was, from top to bottom, everyone wanted to do the very best job that they absolutely could, because they knew that, you know, obviously had the possibility to impact people in a very negative way if they didn't do a good job. So I'm hearing that a little bit from you, maybe not at the NASA level, but certainly in your company, but in your industry and doing the type of things to raise that level. So I think that's great.
Boy, definitely. How do you think that's instilled with NASA? I'm curious.
I'm sure it just becomes a culture from top to bottom, and it's just reinforced over and over again. We'd all like to believe that we have a level of excellence that we aspire to, but I am sure NASA takes it to a whole new level.
The other thing, Charlie, that that guest had said was they had talked about everyone knew they had to do their best because this was something much bigger than themselves, right? And of course, working at NASA, obviously you could see that, but I certainly think that's something that you could bring down to companies like ours, right?
Yeah.
There is something much bigger that we're doing than just your individual contribution. So it sounds like you're doing a great job for not only your company, as Al said, but obviously the industry. So do you want to give a shout out to your podcast? Because I'd love for people to tune into that as well.
Yes. If the listeners want to check us out, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you can listen to a podcast, YouTube, The Hard Lessons Podcast is what it's called. And then the landscape stuff, check us out, our website or Instagram, TikTok, VIL Landscaping. You'll find us everywhere.
All right. That's great. Well, that does it for today's episode. I really enjoyed this conversation. I hope you did too. If you have any questions for Al or myself, please feel free to give us a call or by joining the conversation on LinkedIn. As we've seen here, even starting at a young age, success leaves clues, my friends. We'll see you next time.